In this section, we are going to study the book of Genesis. Because Genesis is the first book of the whole Bible. And actually, Genesis has a lot of the truth inside. So we have to spend about 1 hour to discuss the book of Genesis. Other than that, on the average, one section, we have to study about three books. And the key idea in the book of Genesis is the beginning of everything. If you think about human being, man, woman, marriage, family, children, sin, temptation, or creation, almost everything, the beginning comes from the book of Genesis. So when we study the book of Genesis, it will give us a lot of knowledge about what's going on after God's creation until now. Why we human beings, we live a life like this kind of life? Is that the original in God's creation? The answer is very evident in the book of Genesis. And the key chapter, Genesis chapter 12, if we were able to go back to the book of Genesis chapter 12, in the theme, point 2, we already mentioned that God chose a nation through Abraham. And that starts from Genesis chapter 12, from verse 1. God instructed Abraham to get out of his own country, from his own family, and his own father's house, and to a land I will show you. And that land represents what? Canaan, the promised land, a land filled with honey and milk. So God promised Abraham to have a land, and I will make you a great nation. Since great nation means God promised him out of his descendants were multiplied in this piece of land. And then I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those you also bless you. So this is a promise, or also the covenant Abraham made with God made a covenant with Abraham and promised he's going to be a great nation, inherit a piece of land. And then when Abraham really reached to the land of Canaan, and according to the book of Hebrews chapter 10, Abraham was looking for a far better land. And that far better land is a city managed by God, and actually that is heaven. So when God promised to give Abraham a piece of land, that land referring to two parts. The first part is material land, is a Canaan right now occupied by the Israelites. And the second land is the spiritual land, which is heaven. And that spiritual land fulfilled when Jesus came to the world. He proclaimed, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And that kingdom of God actually is the city Abraham was looking for when he entered into the land of Canaan. So there's a correlationship between New Testament, the kingdom of God, and a piece of land God wants to give Abraham. And how come today we are not the descendant of Abraham? We were able to inherit the kingdom of God, that spiritual promise, the spiritual piece of land that goes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Israelites emphasize very much on genealogy. They emphasize very much on genealogy. Even you look into the family tree of Jesus Christ, they trace back from the father's side, they trace back from mother's side. So they emphasize very much have some connection with their genealogy. Even when they return from the exile, when you want to join rebuilding the temple, one of the conditions, if you cannot find genealogy, then you are unable to participate in rebuilding the temple. Because if you cannot connect it to Abraham, you are no part with this piece of land. So people must have genealogy related to Abraham, so they were able to participate in the reconstruction of the holy city. Now, so today, as a Gentile, we are not Jews. How can we inherit the promise of God to Abraham? Let's turn to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians, chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 to 29. Okay. For you are all sons of God through the faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. And there is neither male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are the Abraham's seed and heir according to the promise. When we're baptized, we baptize into Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ become our father. We become Jesus Christ's children. And then we look into Jesus Christ's genealogy, right? You all trace back Jesus Christ's genealogy. All the way back, then you can see he was the descendant of Abraham from physical sense. So through Jesus Christ, we connect ourselves to Abraham. So God's promise to Abraham, actually we have part with it. And we are inherited the spiritual blessing God gave to Abraham, not the physical part. The physical part, that piece of land, that's not the most important things we are looking for. We are looking for the most important thing is something spiritual. So in the book of Genesis, we already know that salvation, the shadow of Christ, have been hidden in the book of Genesis. So in the book of Ephesians say, before God's creation, God already prepared salvation. Before God's creation, God already prepared salvation, which means the coming of Jesus Christ. So in the Genesis, we can see in chapter 3, verse 15, let's come back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And I will put any enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. So what does that mean? I will put enmity between you and the woman. God told the serpent, Satan. Satan will be the enemy of the descendant of the woman. And your seed and her seed. Her seed means Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ was born not through marriage, but through a woman. So that's called the seed of her seed. And your seed means Satan. So Jesus Christ and Satan will become the enemy to each other. And he shall bruise your head. Head means what? The most important part. So Jesus Christ can cast out the demon. Jesus Christ can control the activity of demon, and eventually Jesus Christ will be all put into the bottomless pit, according to the book of Revelation. And you shall bruise his heel. What does that mean? Jesus Christ will be crucified. That means it's the work of Satan. No. So this is already have the prophecy hidden inside. No. Jesus Christ is coming. Oh. And there are many verses talking about this. Chapter 9, chapter 12, we already mentioned that piece of land in referring to the kingdom of God come through the seed of Adam. And only one seed, one descendant. All the nation will receive blessing from one descendant, only one of Abraham. And that descendant is Jesus Christ. So in the Old Testament, the salvation already hidden there. And then from another point of view, some of the character mentioned in the book of Genesis typify something happened later. For example, Melchizedek in Hebrew chapter 7, when Abraham fight with the enemy and rescue his nephew Lot out of enemy's hand, on his way back, he offered the tithes to a high priest named Melchizedek. And in the book of Hebrews say, this person, or Genesis say, this person has no father and no genealogy. You know, a person has no father, no genealogy, only one person, right? Jesus Christ. Because he is God come into the world to become human being. So Melchizedek actually typifies the Lord Jesus Christ. And also in Romans chapter 5, talk about Adam, especially in the 1 Corinthians chapter 15, talk about two Adam. The first Adam commits sin, and the second Adam will become a savior. And that second Adam is the Lord Jesus Christ, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Jesus Christ came to the world is not coincident, or is not something happened all of a sudden has happened. It's a fulfillment of the prophecy. It's a fulfillment of God's salvation plan. So in the book of Genesis, it was very, very clear. We can understand that. Now we look into the outline, the outline of the book of Genesis. From Genesis chapter 1 to chapter 11, we can see that there are four events in these 11 chapters, four events. The first event is creation, chapter 1 to chapter 2, God's creation. And we look into Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, you can see something very interesting. Which day God created heaven, which day did God create human being? Which day did God create human being? You don't know. Which day did God create human being? Sixth day, right? If God created human being the first day, what is going to happen? We will die? Okay. Even if not die, the first Adam had to fast for 5 days. All right. So the sixth day God created human being. And before God created human being, what happened? He already prepared the earth, the sunlight, the moon, the day, the night, the vegetable, the enemy, everything being well prepared, right? Just like your mother conceived you, right? The first baby is so loving, right? Before you were born, everything had been prepared already, something like that. So God was very considerate, create human being in the sixth day. And then the seventh day, what happened? God raised in the chapter 2. Why does God have to raise? Is God too tired? Create so huge universe, so God have to raise for some time. Is that so? God will never feel tired. If God feels tired, then we are trouble. We have trouble, right? God uses almighty sustain the universe. God says, okay, I'm too tired, right? I have to rest for a while. Even dozing 1 second, everything will be chaotic. Oh, God will never feel tired. Right? Then how come God creates a Sabbath? Because human beings are created by the dust. Create something out of material. So human beings are limited. So God raised on the seventh day. Means he set example for human beings. Then we have to enjoy the rest, the Sabbath. And in God's creation, you can see everything God created, God see is good. Right? From the beginning, first day, second day, everything God say is good. It's good means what? You don't have to improve. Right? If you look into the smartphone, right? 2 years smartphone and now is different. 2 years later, the smartphone will be different from now. That's the reason a lot of people keep on changing the smartphone, right? But when God creates an item or a human being, it never have to upgrade. Because God look is good. It's perfect. That's called God, because God is almighty. He created a human being, no need to improve. Look, if the human being have to improve, which part do you want to improve yourself? The eyesight is no good. They plug it out. Can you find any eye, a human artificial eye better than your own eye? No. Nothing is better than the original man created by God. Yeah. So, everything is good. But only one thing no good. What's that? Only one thing no good. You don't know. Then you cannot get married. It's because you don't feel something no good. Only one thing no good is why? Man it was alone. And God says, too lonely. It's not good. So you don't feel lonely, then not marry yet. One day you will feel, I have everything, but I'm too lonely. Then it's time for you to get married. Right? So God created Eve out of Adam. God created Eve out of Adam. So that was the reason. There's a spiritual teaching there. Adam represents Jesus Christ. And the Eve represents the church. Church come out from the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? If you want to create something from Adam, right, you have to shed the blood. Right? Also, the church was created by the blood of Jesus Christ. And because of this, church and Jesus Christ inseparable. So marriage, man and woman, is inseparable because in spiritually, it's just like a relation between Jesus Christ and the church. And because of this creation, so according to the Bible, there's an order, right? Christ loved the church and died for the church. And church have to submit to Christ. As a husband, in the future you get married, you have to love your wife to, how much you have to love your wife? Not to a point you want to die for your wife. That's what the Bible say. And the wife had to submit to the husband. So this is the creation. There's a truth hidden inside the marriage. Only one thing is no good. And then when God creates a human being, according to what? God create human being according to what? His own image. And his own image in the book of Ephesians is talk about what? Something spiritual. 真理的人以圣洁, the righteousness and holiness. According to the truth. That's called the image of God. But after Adam and Eve commit sin, what happened? We human beings are outwardly look like a human being, but inside, we are not like human beings already. We are losing the image of God. So after we receive the baptism, what should we do? We recreate the image of God. Renewal in Jesus Christ. So our goal, after we believe in Jesus, our goal is not to pray for a better job. Do you know? Our goal is not to pray for what? Material or blessing. Of course, you can pray for that. But the main goal, the most valuable goal, is to pursue spiritual renewal so we can reflect the image of God. And that part represents the true value of a person. So how much does the Lord value me? Exactly when you look at the mirror, you can understand it. If we look into the spiritual mirror and we look very similar to the Lord Jesus Christ, and in the eyes of God, we will be very valuable. And what is the spiritual mirror? According to James chapter 1, the words of God. The words of God is like a mirror. If we use the words of God and to compare ourselves in every aspect, we are very similar with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we become more and more valuable person. So that should be the goal of our spiritual pursuit. Because originally, when God created human being with his own image, and that was the most perfect person, and that was a person have the glory, can reflect the glory of God. But today, we are controlled by sinful nature. So we cannot reflect the glory of God at all. So believing in Jesus is to recreate the image of God inside us. So we can reflect the image of the Father. So like the Father, like the Son, right? So we have to be working harder. Look like a Father. So this is in Genesis, God's creation. And chapter 2 talk about the life in the Garden of Eden. The life of Garden of Eden is perfect. Everything is good. But we look into nowadays, even materially, we are almost reached to the top, highest point. But mentally, spiritually, we have a lot of problems. So what does that mean? After we believe in Jesus Christ, we have to re-enter into the kingdom of God. To really enter into the kingdom of God. That's the kingdom of God being fulfilled in our heart, in our family, in the church. That means re-enter into the Garden of Eden. Then our life will become better and better. So the blessed life, according to the Bible, is not measured from material sense. The blessed life, according to the Bible, is the fulfillment of the kingdom of God. Now, that's called the blessed of life. And Romans chapter 7, 14, verse 17, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but what? Three things. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but three things. What is that? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness means everything is right. Since everything is right, means there's nothing wrong. Right? You look into nowadays, even our family, even marriages, always has something wrong. So the husband and wife fight, right? And the parents and the children, there's something wrong. So they cannot communicate, right? And between the siblings, always something wrong. So we live in the best house, but a lot of times the house is nothing but like a five-star hotel. Right? And through the recreation of spiritual Adam, we were able to be right in every aspect. That's righteousness. The second is peace. Peace means no worry and no fear. And peace also referring to very smooth interpersonal relationship. And then joy. Joy referring to fulfillment. Our heart is fulfilled by the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine If our life is very peaceful and very fulfilled, very joyful, and no sin control us, what kind of life it is? It is a life like in heaven. Oh. So nowadays, our spiritual pursuit, the goal is what? Recreate us to have image of God and recreate the kingdom of God in our heart, in our family, in our church. That is the goal. Oh. Okay, so Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. Oh. And chapter 2 talk about the beginning of the marriage. Oh. So what is marriage? Can anybody say what is marriage? Chapter 2, verse 24. Man shall leave the parent and cling with the wife, and two shall be one. And that's called marriage. Oh. So two shall be one, one body. Oh, so marriage is not a partner. If you read a lot of books talk about marriage, they tell you marriage is a partner. Partner is a business relationship, right? Oh, if the business is no good, that you go your way. Let me go my own way or find another partner, right? Oh, so marriage is one body. When it becomes one body, how can you cut it off? Can you? You cannot. Oh, so when we married, after we married, divorce is not an option. No. We can improve our marriage by improving ourselves to have image of God, by pursuing the fulfillment of the kingdom of God. No. So marriage means two shall be one. No. Now, chapter 3 to chapter 5 is talk about the corruption. No. Corruption come from what? Come from temptation of Satan. No. And Satan tempted whom? Satan did not tempt Adam. Satan tempted Eve. Why? Why did Satan tempt Eve, not Adam? Why? Huh? Weaker, right? Yeah. A lot of times, women are very tough, right? But in terms of Eve is weaker. Oh. And Satan tempted Adam. How did Satan do? Just talk through the talking, right? And if you look into the conversation, part of the words of Satan is true, but only a small part is wrong. Then after talk, then Eve's concept been changed. And then once changed, concept been changed, then Eve start to have the desire to eat that fruit. So today, we had to be very careful about the temptation of Satan, because after we receive salvation, we already enter into the kingdom of God. Right? We'll be very watchful. Hold on the teaching of the Bible 100%. Don't discount the words of God. And very watchful about our own shortcoming. And that was the way. And then, chapter 3, we always ask a question. Did Adam love Eve? Yes or no? Did Adam love Eve? But brother, you don't know. Did Adam love Eve? Yes. How do you know? Ah, did Adam love Eve? Yes, right? How do you know? How do you know? Chapter 2, right? Verse 23, this is my bone of bone, flesh of flesh. So let's call Adam look at Eve, right? Love Eve. Eve love Adam. Did Eve love Adam? How do you know? Give Adam an apple, not apple, the fruit of good and evil. Because she ate, it's so delicious. I must give to Adam, right? And when Adam eat, both of them sin. So what does that mean? Love is what? According to 1 Corinthians, right? Love should have one very important condition, in truth. Love in truth. Truth means the words of God. If love is not in truth, it will happen like Eve. Eve loved Adam, but it can be sin. So this is corruption, chapter 3 to chapter 5. And after Adam and Eve commit sin, what happened? God come and they hide themselves. And then when God started to confront Adam, what did Adam do? Play the blame game, right? So this is human being, right? They did not repent. God asked Adam, why do you eat that food? That's because of the woman. What does that mean? If you don't create that woman, I will not be tempted. The reason I'm tempted because you create the woman, so you are the one who is responsible. Something like that, right? And then God asked Eve, why do you eat that fruit? What did Eve say? The same thing. Oh, because of what? The serpent. If you don't create that serpent, I will not sin. The reason I sin because that serpent, right? The blame game, right? They never repent. Oh, so because they never repent, so what? Then the curse come. And being driven out of the Garden of Eden, and they start to suffer. So human beings suffer, start from Genesis chapter 3, verse 22. So human beings cannot claim autonomy from God. We have to live together with God so that our life can be perfect. We have to be controlled by God so our life can be perfect. If we claim autonomy from God, I want to be independent, then there will be trouble. Just like right after Adam and Eve move out of the Garden of Eden, a lot of trouble happened. So this is corruption from chapter 3 to chapter 5. Once a human being sinned, sin came to the world, and sin controlled everyone. And everyone born in the world become a sinner. That's what the Bible says. And chapter 4, I talk about the first murder. And then chapter 5, we talk about the descendant of Abraham. When we read the chapter 5, we feel it's so boring. Everybody died. Why they just died and buried? Why it talk in the Bible, right? There are a few important teachings. The first is, in the ancient time, they live how long? 800-something years old, right? If we can live 80 years old, it's not even one-tenth of the people in the Old Testament. And then, out of so many people die, all of a sudden, verse 21, one person never die. What? Enoch. How come Enoch never die? Because he walked together with God. So God took him up to heaven directly. So there is a hope among everyone died. There is a hope you will never experience death. So chapter 5 talk about the power of death. Everyone surrender. But if anyone who become godly worship the true God, he will able to escape the control of death. So this is corruption. Then chapter 6 to chapter 9 talk about the destruction. Not only corruption. The end of the corruption is destruction. So destruction is a result, and corruption is a reason. So chapter 6 talk about Noah. Noah walked together with God in chapter 6, verse 9. And if we look into verse 13, verse 12, verse 11, all the world corrupted, filled with violence. And then verse 12, all the people in the world are corrupted in their deeds. First, they corrupt in their thinking, mind. The second, they corrupt in their deeds. And then since they are corrupted, verse 13, God says the end of human being is coming. So there will be the end, destruction. And before the destruction, God commanded Noah to build an ark. So that means chapter 7. So spiritually, what does that mean? The end is coming, right? Second coming of Jesus is coming. But God will prepare a spiritual ark. What's that? The true church. Destruction is a response from God's righteousness. And building an ark is response from God's mercy. So God's mercy always go hand by hand with God's justice. Now, so in the end of the world, it's the same. Because of God's justice, he's coming to punish. But before he's coming, because of God's mercy, he built a true church and want to save people. So the true church already hidden inside in the Genesis chapter 7, the ark in the time of Noah. So destruction happened in chapter 7. And chapter 8 talk about when the destruction over, and Noah and the whole family came out of the ark. And God used a rainbow as a sign. He no longer used the water to destroy people. And chapter 9, God blessed the descendant of Noah. Right. So this is the destruction. And then chapter 10 and to 11, dispersion. How come human beings right now scatter everywhere around the world? Then it recorded in chapter 10 to chapter 11. Especially chapter 11, human being, originally, chapter 11, verse 1, originally there's only one language. Is it wonderful? Only one language. Then you don't have to learn Spanish, Mandarin, English, Japanese, only one language. Right? How wonderful they will be, right? But the side effect of only one language is what? Everybody plotted together, right? About what? We want to build a tower, reach to heaven. That means what? Pride. Human being of pride, want to do something against God. No. So because of this, verse 6, so human being, the tongue has been changed. So there are so many different tongues. Sometimes I met a member from Fujian province. Even one village had 2-3 kind of different dialect. Oh, that's too difficult, right? So difficult. So this is a dispersion from chapter 10 to 11. Now, from chapter 12 to chapter 50, we can see only four people. 1 to 11, four events. Creation, corruption, destruction, dispersion. And 12 to 50, four people. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Four people. According to the Bible, right? In the book of Exodus, God says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Right? So what does that mean? I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What does that mean? At least two meanings. The first meaning, God is the God of living being. God is not the God of dead person. Which means Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, even though physically die, they are still living. Their soul in paradise. So God is the God of the living being, not the dead person. Once a person dead, physically, spiritually dead, then God is not their God. They are dead already, right? The second meaning is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob all have personal relationship with God. So that's the reason God say God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. At least there are two meanings. So from chapter 12 to chapter 50 actually is talking about the family history of the what? Grandfather, father, son, and grandson. I talk about this four generation. And how come this four generation has so many stories to talk about? All of the four generation, they have a strong faith. Abraham has strong faith. Isaac has strong faith. And Jacob has strong faith, and Joseph has strong faith too. Let me ask a question. out of this four generation, four person, oh, how many of them never wandering around? How many of them only live in a particular area from they were born until they die? How many? Or none? You don't know. Only Isaac. Oh. Beside Isaac, Abraham, Jacob, and Joseph, they all wandering around. Oh. A life of wandering, Oh. 漂泊. Yeah. Now we look into the very interesting thing. Oh. The reason they wandering around, reason is different. Oh. But their goal is the same. Why did Abraham wandering around? Why? Why did Abraham wandering around? Why? In contemporary terms, why did Abraham move? Oh. In America, average speaking, right, about 6 to 7 years, a person will move one time. That according to the real estate agent, the calculation, because a house, every 6 to 7 years, they will sell it. Because what? Relocation. Oh. Now, why did Abraham move? According to Genesis chapter 12, why did Abraham move? Why? Because God wanted him to move. Originally, what was the hometown of Abraham? Huh? Hometown of Abraham? Ur, right? If we study where is the Ur, Ur is an ancient small town right now in Iraq. Oh. So Abraham originally come from a small town in Iraq called Ur. Oh. And then Ur was a place that they worshiped the idol. But God wanted to create a nation worship the only one true God. So in that small town and the culture worshiping the idol, it's very difficult to build up a only one God worshiping nation. So God asked Abraham to move out of his own country. Oh, so that was the reason Abraham moved. Oh. And since he moved because God wanted him to move, so God was responsible. So he moved to a piece of land called filled with honey and milk. Oh, a wonderful piece of land. A land of blessing, a land of rest, a land of prosperity. That was the promised land that Abraham moved because of that. And Isaac, originally, Isaac planned to move to Egypt, right? Do you remember when Isaac encountered famine? He planned to move to Egypt. And what happened? Why he did not move to Egypt? Why? What? Huh? Yeah, God told him not to, right? Why Isaac want to move to Egypt when he encountered famine? Because he tried to copy from his father. Oh. Abraham encountered famine, so Abraham moved to Egypt, so he gained a lot of material, right? And oxen, cow, and animal, and gold, and silver. Oh. Oh. So Isaac tried to copy Abraham, and God said, no, this is the land I'm going to give to you. And Egypt referring to a land worshipping the idol. So the chosen people encounter the difficulty, should rely on God to resolve the difficulty. We should not rely on the idol to resolve their difficulty. So according to the book of in Genesis, right, Isaac remained in the Canaan. Then what happened? Chapter 24. Isaac remained in, during the time of famine, Isaac remained in the Canaan, and then what happened? Where can you find it? Okay, 26. Right, he want to move to Egypt, and what happened? He remained in the Canaan. And then, verse 12. That year, he harvests how many times? 100-fold. Oh, so what does that mean? If we stick on following God's will, God will what? Take care of us. Oh. So that was Isaac, right? Why did he want to move? But God don't want him to move. Then he just follow God's instruction. So today, what does that mean? Today, if you want to find a job, right? Food, famine today means job. If you have no job, then you have to relocate to somewhere. If we want to relocate to somewhere, it's a very important principle, is to make sure God wants us to move there. Right? If we want to move to a church, a place where there's a church, it can be either good or bad. If we are very, very, very determined, I want to build a church there. I want to preach the gospel, build a house of prayer. That's good. You can go, right? But if our faith is very, very weak, we cannot be independent. And only because there's a good job, good income, good promotion, so I want to move there, is very dangerous. Maybe after 10 years later, yes, we get promotion and then our faith decline every year, right? So when we consider where am I moving to get a good job, please consider God's will. What does God's will mean? After 5-10 years later, what will happen to your faith? That's very important. Isaac, he did not move. How about Jacob? What did Jacob, or why did Jacob move? Why did Jacob move? Why did Jacob move? Because his brother wanted to kill him, right? Now we dig a little bit deeper, right? Why did his brother want to kill him? Why? Why did his brother want to kill him? And this is an eye story. Why did his brother want to kill him? Huh? Brother. You don't know. Why did Jacob's brother want to kill him? Hey, brother, you. Why did his brother want to kill him? Because Jacob used a trick, right, to deceive his father. So receive the firstborn blessing. That was his mistake. So Jacob moved, wandering around because of his mistake. And then he would dig a little bit deeper, right? How come that kind of things happen? Then you will see Jacob's father, Isaac, and the wife of Jacob is what? Rebecca. Oh. The father loved whom? Esau, right? And the mother loved whom? Jacob. That's a problem, right? So mother loved Jacob. When the mother knows the husband is going to bless Esau, the mother say, the last one, the one I love, right? Cook the animal and bring to your father, right? And pretend your brother to receive your father's blessing. And then Jacob say, no. If my father discover I am not Isaac, what am I going to do? And Rebecca say, right, blessing belong to you, curse belong to me. That's a good deal, right? So Rebecca, even though very beautiful when she was young, but when she was old, it's not beautiful at all, right? She teach Jacob how to cheat. His father is not beautiful, right? So because father and mother all love different children, right? The reason mother loved Jacob is because Jacob always stayed at home. The reason Isaac loved Esau because Esau always hunting something and he liked to eat the animal. That's the only reason, right? So when you visit a children or you are RE teacher, never ask a question. Hey, your mother love you or your father love you more. Don't ask that kind of question. That question is very negative inference. You try to let the children think about, my father love me more, my father love me more. Then you will repeat the same mistake of Isaac. Okay, so Jacob wandering around because of his own mistake. And then when he returned to his homeland, what happened? The one who loved him the most, the mother, already passed away. A very, very tragic way, right? Even though Esau sold the firstborn right because one bowl of the soup, right? No. But he still wait patiently. God has his own way to fulfill his will. There's another story, right? One bowl of red bean soup in exchange of firstborn right. That's a good deal, right? So what does that mean? In order to enjoy what? Instant gratification of the last, we trade for our eternal life. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. So when we want to gratify our instant, that kind of lust, think about, we are repeating the same mistake of Isaac. Okay, so Jacob. Now, we come to Joseph. How come Joseph was sold to Egypt? Why? Any Joseph here? How come Joseph was sold to Egypt? His brother was jealous. He sounds his brother's wrong, right? Mistake, right? Now you ask a little bit deeper. How come his brother was jealous? Yeah, because only Joseph had a colorful clothes, right? That colorful clothes means partiality of the father. That's a problem, right? So Jacob, even though he did something wrong, right? But he did not learn from his own mistake. He showed favoritism to the children. So what does that mean? Right? One day, if you have two, three children, right? Once a person had iPhone, all three had to have an iPhone. You cannot say the first one iPhone, the second one iPad, the third one, you don't need that. They will create a problem, right? Be fair to everyone. Show no favoritism. So all the four generations, except one other three, all wandering around. And all wandering around with different reasons. So what does that mean? We have to think about everything we do, there is a consequence. If we do righteously, we will receive the blessing of God. If we do something wrong, the consequence will follow. So this is the four people out of generation, four generation. And all the four generation have one common goal. Before they die, they all want to go back to the promised land. Right? Jacob died in Egypt. He asked his descendant, one day if you go back to Canaan, please move my body back to Canaan. And then Joseph also died in Egypt, and he asked his descendant, please bring my bone back to Canaan. Why? Because Canaan was a promise then God gave to them. And that Canaan represents heaven. So no matter where we go, we have that one final destination. Where? The kingdom of God, the heaven. And that should be the final goal. We study the book of Genesis. Let's pray inside.